Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Don't forget, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can text or even leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. Gonna get right into my first news story. It's kind of tragic. Well, it is tragic. Shouldn't have said kind of. Luckily, this Wendy's employee did not end up dying. But I also don't like to talk about serious stuff. This is a story that definitely needs to be talked about, but I got a little bit of a different angle of what I want to pitch to you and what I want to talk about. That's how my mind works. I try to take tragic news stories and kind of twist them a little bit because we've all done that. And when you find out what this kid got shot and sent to the hospital, put in intensive care, you're going to be like, oh, I see where you're going with this, Tuttle.
16-year-old Brian Durham Jr. is in stable but critical condition. His father tells me he underwent a 5-hour surgery, but he still can't talk, although he is responding to commands with movement.
Just looking at him in that bed, bro. I
got to tell you, this kid's father, because the kid that ended up getting shot, the Wendy's employee, is only 16 years old. But his dad seems cool as hell. Like, man, seeing him in that hospital bed, man, bro.
I'm used to him, daddy, that's it. He's just like,
Warts come up short for this father.
He went to work that day, you know, happy.
I mean, do we all remember our first jobs? Like, it's not a job that we particularly like. Because I know for a fact, my first job was working the overnight stock at Winn-Dixie. Not in the greatest neighborhood, per se. But my cousin, he was the assistant manager. And, you know, your parents just want you to get that first job. They really don't care what it is. You're just going to do it because you got to get out into the workforce. You got to get out and just have some type of responsibility. There might be some teenage kids, 18, 19, but this kid was 16. I remember at our school up in Pearson Taylor, we had the work co-op program that if you did get a job your senior year, you could get out like an hour and a half, 2 hours early to be able to go out and work, make some money, get some credit for it. And it was amazing. It was like an internship. Hell, let me back up there a little bit. No, Winn-Dixie was not my first job. I was packing fern at a nursery. I had to box up fern because Pearson, you know, I grew up in DeLeon Springs, but I had to go to school in Pearson because we didn't have a high school in DeLeon Springs. So we went up there, and a lot of people don't know this. Pearson is the fern capital of the world. More fern is produced. And by fern, I'm talking about the decorative green leafy stuff that they put in floral arrangements. Yeah, that's what I did. So that was great. I was able to get off of school, get credit, get paid. Hell, it was even better than the first internship I had. Because when I worked at the Crow in Daytona Beach, WKRO 93.1, the alternative rock station, I didn't get paid for that. Gotta tell you, it was a lot more fun working with Ron and Fez. But that was great. But I also worked in Winn-Dixie was like the first like 18, adult job. Only white dude on the overnight stock crew. And it wasn't one of those Winn-Dixies, because some of the Winn-Dixies for a little while were open 24 hours. But they would close out one at night. I would stock shelves, being the only white dude. I got to tell you, I gained a lot of life experiences in that first job.
After his son, Brian Durham Jr., was shot in the head while working at the Wendy's on 19th Avenue and Glendale Road.
They said how the bullet fragments, they don't know how his speech is going to be. It's a long recovery.
Phoenix police say the shooting stemming from an argument at the drive-thru window. Brian's father says his son was at the cash register in between the window and another employee.
So my son is in the middle. Can I get some more barbecue sauce?
Yes. This 16-year-old kid was shot over sauce. Barbecue sauce. And if I'm just being honest, I mean, Wendy's barbecue sauce isn't that bad, but it's not worth shooting people over. I know for a while there. See, because I got a lot of weird menu items because I like to get creative with stuff. I remember one of the first items that I ever created on my own, I would get the quarter pounder with cheese, with the fries, get a diet soda. Then I would take all the onions off because I, for some reason, I don't like McDonald's onions. They're just too dicey. They're too diced up. And I'm a big texture eater. By texture, like if it does not feel good in my mouth, I know a lot of people are going to take that in a bad way. If it doesn't feel good in my mouth, I don't want it in my mouth. And so I take the onions off. I line up the fries. I got to have 10 fries, and then I got to have 10 fries on top of that. They all got to be pointing in the same direction. This is where my OCD comes in. Then what I'll do, I'll take a packet of sweet and sour sauce, and I will pour the whole thing on top of that, pit the top back on it, the little sesame seed bun. Now, I don't even know if you get a... I can't remember. I haven't even... Since I've been eating healthy... I haven't been eating a lot of fast food. I can't even remember. I think a Big Mac is the only one that has the sesame seed bun on it. So I'll put the top back on, smash it down. So I'll eat a quarter pounder with cheese with the sweet and sour sauce. And there was a time where McDonald's, if you didn't order nuggets, you could not get the sweet and sour sauce. They would charge you, I think, a quarter, maybe 30 cents. That's complete BS. But I got to tell you, the McDonald's sweet and sour sauce, I could see somebody high as hell, maybe a drug dealer, wanting that sweet and sour sauce with their 20 fries smashed down to eat it. And also, I know that I'm going on another tangent here, but what the hell, man? Like, I got to end my bites when I'm eating. Also, the other thing, I will not take a sip out of my diet soda that I would get at McDonald's at the time. By the way, McDonald's does have the best Diet Coke. They must have somebody come in there and fine-tune their machine and the mixture because it is absolutely fantastic. But when I eat, I always have to eat and finish on an even bite. Like, if I'm on an odd bite and I'm about to finish something, I'll take a smaller bite. You know, like if I was on number 9, like this bite, last bite's going to be 9. I will take half of that bite, even though it's a bite that I could take down all in one bite. I will eat half of that last little bite. I know I'm saying bite a lot, bite. But I will do that. I know it makes me weird. Probably makes me odd. Maybe that's why I'm having a hard time making new friends at my age. By the way, I got a story coming up that I'm going to talk about with that. But, you know, Wendy's, you got to pay for the sauce. The one place you do not have to pay for any sauce is Taco Bell. Matter of fact, if you're going into any, like, bachelor's, single male's house, if you open up one of the drawers in the kitchen, I almost guarantee you, it's a safe bet that half of that bitch is going to be filled up with Taco Bell sauce. Taco Bell will fill up a whole extra bag with no food in it, just with sauce. Do they just order so much of it, or is it that bad that they're just willing to get rid of it, and they really don't even care if you're going to throw it away or not?
So the dude on the outside tell him, no, you got to pay for it, whatever, woody-woo.
So we start getting louder conversation. So what, from what I hear, the dude got up out of his car, walked up to the window, and just shot.
All right. I'm always open with you guys. I know this is going to make me look weird. I know it's going to make me look like a complete loser, pathetic asshole. I remember back in the day, I'm a big Rick and Morty fan, and I need to catch up on the new season. But I remember, and I never even thought about this sauce until Rick and Morty, and that's why I like the show. I know it's animated. I know it's weird. It's very suspicious that a man in his 40s would be watching an animated show, but some of the references they make are so obscure. I completely forgot about the Mulan. You remember the Mulan animated Disney flick back in the day? Well, McDonald's, they do these limited time, because McDonald's is great at marketing, but they did that Mulan Szechuan sauce. Completely forgot about it until Rick and Morty did a episode where Rick was completely obsessed with the Szechuan sauce. Now, I will put this on McDonald's. I don't think they realize how much of a demand there would be for it. And, you know, a lot of people look at nerds as being weak, you know, not never being in a fight in their life or getting upset. They just roll with the punches. No, that's not the case. Because when you finally do piss off a nerd, you know that you probably did something pretty wrong for them to get upset. But when they did and they brought back the Szechuan sauce, because McDonald's was like, oh man, we see Rick and Morty kind of like dropped our name in one of their episodes. We see a demand. And you know what McDonald's did? I think maybe they had 5 packets of the Szechuan sauce per store. I ended up driving to DeLand. I was living all the way over here on the east coast of Florida in Volusia County, so it was about a 40-minute drive. I drove to the DeLand, Florida, because I knew that McDonald's was going to have it. I thought I was going to be there early enough. Nope. That line was stretched around the building probably 3 or 4 times. There were so many people that showed up for that. And everybody thought they were going to get at least 1 packet, because you had to order, like a 4-piece or 6-piece chicken nugget. And they only had 5 goddamn packets. Man, I thought for a while there we were going to have like an L.A. riot situation at the McDonald's, because there were quite a few stores around that. And it got pretty ugly. I mean, no real violence. It just was a lot of nerds just being weird and causing a lot of problems. People could not get into the drive-thru. The nerds were blocking off any cars. And good luck trying to get into that damn store. Because it really did. Nerds sometimes will plan ahead. Hell, some of those nerds might have been out there 3 days ahead of time, haven't even showered. If you've never lived in Florida with the humidity, yeah, you start stinking a little bit. So McDonald's kind of finally figured out that they messed up, and they brought it back for a limited time. Matter of fact, I still think I might have a couple of packets sitting in the refrigerator. I'm sure that they're still good. They put McDonald's food sometimes underneath a glass, and they put a regular burger, a homemade burger, and that thing rots pretty quick. Nope, not the McDonald's food. So many preservatives in it. I don't think that it would ever rot. It's like a body that's been embalmed.
Didn't care about life.
Brian was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. Brian turned 16 in September, and this his first job, which he got to help his mother pay bills.
Brian, he's just a outgoing kid, smart. He likes to stay to himself.
Brian's family initially speaking to us anonymously, scared of the suspect who fled the scene. But about 22 hours after the shooting, police making an arrest.
For real? How is that going to look? Because, I've never been to prison. I've been to jail. I never heard a lot of people say, hey, what are you in for? What are you in for? Because, you know, you see that in movies all the time. What are you in for? Could you imagine, like, if they ask you, what are you in for? Yo, I killed a 16-year-old kid over some Wendy's barbecue sauce. What? I mean, it would make a little bit more sense. He might have a little bit more of a defense. Your Honor, it was Chick-fil-A barbecue sauce. I really do think out of all the fast food places, Chick-fil-A has some of the best barbecue sauce. Now, you could go to like a Sonny's. Sonny's, there's sweet barbecue at Sonny's. Ugh, mwah, so good. But I will admit, because I do this, another creation that I have made, Wendy's, I get the triple double. I don't know where the double comes from, but I do the triple double. I will get two junior bacon cheeseburgers whenever I go, because I rarely go to fast food. This is another creation, junior bacon cheeseburger, 99 cents, and then a 99 cent nugget. So you're out the door for about $4. You can get a water. But what I will do is I'll take the lettuce tomato off of it. I will put three chicken nuggets on it. Then I will take the Wendy's barbecue sauce and put that on top of it. And then I'll smash that down. So you're getting beef, pork, chicken. That's why I call it the triple double, because you're getting three different types of meat at Wendy's. And what happened to Dave? Dave Thomas, Central Florida legend. Love Dave Thomas. I miss him. Rest in peace, Dave.
They called. I'm very excited.
Brian's father, relieved, speaking to us minutes after detectives giving him the news about the arrest.
I forgive him, but I can't forget.
I'm sorry. No way in a million years would I ever say, oh, I forgive the asshole that shot my kid, first job, just trying to help out his mom, and he shoots my son over a packet of barbecue sauce? Come on, man. I would never be able to forgive somebody that shot my kid, 16-year-old kid, over sauce at a fast food place. I mean, look, I said that I like the Wendy's barbecue sauce, but the only way that I'm, like, going to shoot anybody is maybe over some Sonny's, which is not a fast food place, or some Chick-fil-A barbecue sauce.
Now, the family looking for a speedy recovery in hopes that Brian can fulfill his dream of joining the military.
Well, I mean, he's already been prepared. Well, I'm not saying hopefully when he gets into the military, he doesn't get wounded in combat, but, I mean, that prepares you going into the military. Be like, yo, man, you've been shot. No, I've been shot in combat, but guess what? I got shot. I got bullet fragments in my skull because I told somebody that they had to give me money for a Wendy's sauce packet. Yeah, go figure.
We're just going to take it one day at a time and, you know, work with him. But is it going to be an effect on his life?
I think everybody in America has pride for the state that they live in. Now, I'm sure there are some states, you know, like the military and stuff that get moved around. They're like, man, I hate this state. I didn't choose to be here. I'm following orders. I don't even know why I'm here. I hate all the people. I hate the traditions. I just hate the culture. But everybody, for the most part, is proud of everything that's a part of their state. Yeah, Florida Gators, Hurricanes, Florida State Seminoles. We're allowed to carry guns. We don't pay a state income tax. We got the best schools. We got the best roads. We got the best cities. We got the best skyline. I'm just throwing it out there. I know a lot of Florida residents or Florida, like, people that were born here are going to be maybe mad. But I'm just putting it out there. The bums, the homeless people, the panhandlers, whatever you want to call them. Sorry, I didn't mean to burp. I had a little bubble there in my throat. But for the most part, the bums down here are kind of weak, kind of soft when it comes to the weather. And that's the thing about it, is that a lot of the people that are here in Florida that are homeless, vagrants, whatever you, like I said, whatever you want to call them, have gotten soft because all the bums, the homeless, they all want to come here. And I don't hate the homeless. Like, if I got some extra change in my pocket, I will give it to them. I'm not throwing them paper money. It's just not happening. Because I've been out of work a lot. And you know what? I kind of have panhandled when it comes to the podcast when I first started. I'm like, hey, can you help me out? I'm a out-of-work broadcaster. Can you please just donate a little bit of money to my PayPal? So, yeah, I've kind of been a little bit of a panhandler, but well, the reason that I say that the bums have become soft is for the main reason why a lot of the homeless come here to the state of Florida is because of the weather. Yeah, we do have hurricanes. Yeah, we do have some bad afternoon summer showers. But for the most part, the weather is fine. And the bums that are like Florida natives here, that's a different type of breed than the transplant homeless people that come down here. You know, like I saw a story that they're opening up a lot of these cold weather shelters. You know who is like wiping their asses with your cold weather shelters? They're like, don't bust me up with your cold weather shelters. Is the people that are up in Chicago, people up in Manhattan. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Chicago or New York, but those homeless people are intuitive. They're creative. They're like the MacGyver of homeless people because some of the shelters, the makeshift shelters that they will make, they're impressive. This is something like home improvement style shows that they would do. They'd be like, look at what I built out of cardboard boxes, a plastic tarp, and a bunch of old dirty clothes. It's like a bum mansion.
They are. They're actually requiring people to be fully masked inside. They're also having COVID tests on hand here. I'm going to have my photographer, Megan, zoom in.
By the way, I got to tell you, one of the main reasons I like WKMG Local 6, I mean, they got great reporters, but oh my God, do they keep a stable of just some of the hottest women that you can ever imagine. They're all absolutely gorgeous. And I mean, I remember the first time I realized when WKMG Local 6 was like, oh man, they are hiring grade A, is Leslie Gale. And I actually got to work with Leslie Gale for a little while at Magic 107.7 when she got let go. I was talking to somebody about this last night. It's weird how the older, like, males, they get to age gracefully. But when it comes to women in broadcasting, which I do agree that it's completely unfair that they do this, that the women have a little bit of a shelf life. Now, I will say this, Claire Metz, I'm not saying anything bad about Claire Metz's looks, but they've allowed her to age gracefully. And you know why? Because she is a hell of a hand when it comes to reporting. But I do think it's kind of unfair when it comes to female reporters, female anchors, because they do that. And I know a lot of the local news media won't acknowledge it, but they do. Be lucky if you're a guy in broadcast news.
This is where people enter. They opened up about 30 minutes ago. So far, we haven't seen too many people coming in except volunteers setting up these check-in tables and getting ready to do COVID tests on those who come to stay at the shelter tonight.
And that's also the other thing. I don't ever remember. Maybe I'm just not paying attention because I'll admit, me being a Florida cracker, a Florida native, that it does get cold here. It gets cold to me. But let's be honest, it really does not get that cold. We don't have that many cold days. I mean, you got to be honest. We really don't. I've seen them open up hurricane shelters for the homeless when we get hurricanes. Funny that how the hurricanes come in bunches. We'll go like 5 years, nothing. High and dry, and then we'll get like two or three in a year. I guess that's how it's working out. I remember back in 2004, I think we got five or six maybe. And I can understand that. Like, open up shelters for that, but come on, dude. Do we really need to open up cold weather shelters? And that's also the other thing about Florida. You know, if you lived up in Chicago or New York, some of the cities that I mentioned earlier, it stays cold all day long. Florida, yeah, it gets cold overnight. But guess what? The sun is going to warm everything up. The sun will come out tomorrow.
The shelters are just basic sheltering accommodations. It's a warm place to stay. There's a basic cot. So if there's any special needs or anything that folks have, they should bring anything that they have for that either condition.
Director of the Lake County Office of Emergency Management, Megan Milanese, says it'll be a basic setup at the shelter, but it's meant to help people get through the cold nights ahead.
Now, I will admit, it definitely gets colder up in Lake County than it does here in Volusia County, Florida, because it does stay a little bit warmer on the coast, but also at the same time, we have to deal with more wind. We deal with a lot more wind on the coast. So the wind chill factor is going to be a little bit colder. But when we're just talking about straight cold, yeah, Lake County is one of those things because you're getting close up to up into Marion County, the Gainesville area. And for some reason, that place just retains any temperature. During the winter, cold all day. During the summer, one of the hottest places you're ever going to find.
We activate our cold weather shelter plan whenever we have a weather prediction that shows our temperatures dipping below 40 degrees.
Back to what I mentioned earlier, living around the DeLeon Springs, Florida area, being the fern capital of the area, of the world, or if you got a lot of orange groves around you, if you hear the pumps to spray water when they're freeze protecting. And a lot of you guys are probably like, what do you mean by water freeze protecting? Well, I'll tell you why. They figured out that if you spray the trees with water, let everything freeze over, that's the coldest it's going to be because it's kind of insulating it with ice and the vegetation, the fern, the oranges. They're not going to get to the point where they're going to die and get freeze burned because they got a coating of ice around them. I know it doesn't make sense. When I first heard that, I was like, oh, all right, so we're putting ice? We're putting ice on these plants, but it does insulate them and retains heat from the inside out.
Including wind chill.
As a result, Monday and Tuesday nights, Life Point Church off of East Orange Avenue and Trinity Assembly of God on Urick Street will operate as cold weather shelters. For those who plan to utilize the shelters, here's what you need to know. Masks are required.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Like, I'm just being honest. I've been careful. I try to wear my mask everywhere. I've been vaccinated. I wasn't able to get my booster because I actually got COVID before my booster. And I got the monoclonal antibodies. So, obviously, I can't get that. But also, at the same time, I've been very, very careful. But I'm not going to get on an airplane where I got to wear a mask the whole time. I'm not going to go into a building where I got to wear the mask more than an hour. No, it's just not going to happen. And good luck trying to force that with a bunch of homeless people. It's just not going
to
happen.
The Florida Department of Health will be doing COVID testing to those coming. And they will also be offering the COVID vaccine along with the flu shot and hepatitis A vaccine.
See, bingo. I mean, you're seeing it right there. Look, I'm not anti-vax. I know a lot of people are anti-vax. And the reason, like I said, I had never, ever heard a mention when it comes to these cold weather shelters because we live in Florida. Yeah, it's going to get cold for a little bit, but like I said, if the people up in Chicago, New York, hell, some of the other cold weather places can live out in the outdoors, you're going to be fine in Florida. This is just the way the county probably met up. It was like, hey, all right, so not a lot of the homeless people have gotten vaccinated yet. What can we will offer cold weather shelters, even though we live in the Sunshine State. And they'll fall for it. We're going to give them food, coffee, place to maybe even shower or a cot to be able to sleep on. Yes, they will come in droves. We have tricked them.
News 6 spoke with pastor of Life Point Church, Dan Reagan, and he describes the setup inside.
When they come in, they're going to find on the left are Java Cafe, and it's going to have lots of coffee.
You know what? Don't try to trick these homeless people with your fancy smancy coffee. They don't want your Java bar. They want some straight up Winn-Dixie public style weak ass. Well, some of them are strong, but for the most part, they're kind of weak. They just want that flavored dark coffee flavored water and they'll move on. We don't need your fancy stuff. We don't need you making the foam look like images on top of my coffee. I just want to get it in there. I want to get that coffee in me because I haven't pooped in a couple of days because I've taken so many pain pills. And the caffeine is going to help me get rid of all this stuff. It's like the world's natural laxative.
And a hot meal. And we have a couple rooms set up where they can, there's cots where they'll be able to sleep.
Milanese says in terms of offering the shots, they wanted to take this opportunity to get the COVID vaccine to those who might not have had the opportunity to get it yet.
The folks who come to our shelters can sometimes be vulnerable populations, which sometimes can also be hard to reach populations.
Sorry, I really do have to disagree with that statement. Matter of fact, the homeless probably have the best immune system that all the vaccination stuff, trust me. When you don't get to wash your hands all the time, you're wiping your ass with random things. You get fecal matter on those. You can't afford fingernail clippers, so you're probably biting those. Yes, homeless people got the best immune system. Matter of fact, if I'm just being honest, I would love to see a study. I would like to see a study that shows the amount of homeless people that have died from the coronavirus. Matter of fact, I think if the coronavirus, like, enters a homeless person's body, they're like, uh-oh, we messed up. We're in a bad-ass neighborhood. It's like when a white person gets off at the wrong exit and they find out they're in the projects or a really bad neighbor. Remember from when Chevy Chase and Family Vacation, they get off the wrong exit and they're like, roll them up. Yeah, that's exactly what the coronavirus probably is. Roll it up, buddies. We picked the wrong body today.
Now, for those who need help getting here, the county is offering free transportation through Lake Express. We're going to have the details over on our website, clickorlando.com. They are also doing at-home pickups for those who might not be able to make it to a bus stop or during one of those scheduled times. For now, in Lake County, I'm Lauren Cervantes getting results, News 6.
Thank you, Lauren Cervantes. If you get a chance, check her out. You'll know what I mean about Local 6 hiring a hot stable of women. Want to get into my last news story. I find this kind of interesting because it's funny, you know, back in the Wild Wild West, we used to have, like, train stick-ups or train robberies where the outlaws would be riding their horses. They'll grab onto the side of the ladder on one of the trains to be able to hop on it. They usually try to rob some of the gold or the rich people. But no, they're not doing that. You know, I've lived close to a lot of train tracks, and a lot of these trains in these busy metropolitan areas, they got to pull off to let other trains go by. That's the thing about train tracks. You don't have double lanes sometimes like you see other roads, so some of the trains have got to pull off to be able to let another train go by. And the one thing I will say about this, people that are just natural thieves, they're creative. I don't want anybody to think that I approve of what people are doing, but you got to look at it and be like, yeah, I got to tell you, if they took that initiative and tried to figure out things by problem solving, they would not have to steal. And like I said, once again, not approving of it, but I got to tell you, these people are pretty creative in realizing that when these trains pull off, especially in Los Angeles County, L.A., that they got a good chance of robbing this train. And also at the same time, I don't understand how it's that easy to do this. They don't have security. You know, on those old Western trains, they would have like some cowboy walking the roof with a sawed-off shotgun, like Omar from The Wire. Yeah, I'm watching that still. Gonna probably start the third season today. But it's really, really easy. They don't even have locks. It's just like some of that plastic stuff just make sure that the container and stuff isn't tampered with, because it's just way too damn easy.
If you live in Los Angeles and your package hasn't been delivered, you might want to check the rail line in the east of the city.
Man, I really love it when I can find a news story that has BBC, that's broadcasted by the BBC, because I don't know. I kind of love having some fancy smancy British snooty type reporter. I'm not saying that about Amy Sinha that does some of the readings for me. No. I either want really, really fancy or I want really, really dumb, like white trash reading my news. I don't want anything in between.
Freight trains passing through this area have become an easy target for thieves who leave evidence of their raids all over the tracks.
And what he meant by leaving the evidence all over the place, it's straight up, and no offense at people that live in some of the big cities in India, but oh my God, it looks like Mumbai, because there is so much trash over the tracks. It does look like India. You're like, holy crap, when did LA start looking like some of the big cities in India? Because there are packages all over the place. I mean, it's just absolutely littered. And by the way, I noticed this. BBC, I don't need all the sound effects in the back. I know it's not sound effects, but the ambiance from the train going by. Just give me the meat. I don't want any of the bone.
As trains head into a busy junction, they often slow down or stop, and looters are ready.
Once again, I know that California is a little bit of a liberal state. They don't believe in, they do believe in gun control. They don't believe that people should be able to protect their property. But be honest, like, if they had, like, a dude or a gun turret on top of some of these trains, guess what? The looting would stop. Because when you find out some of the packages that, I mean, it's COVID tests, it is just all types of stuff that people have ordered. I don't know what Amazon's deal is or what their policy is. If your package is stolen off of a train, are they going to replace it? I don't know. I don't even know how they would find out.
They jump on these trains. These locks that these containers have are really, sometimes they're plastic seals. You know, the locks aren't really strong, you know.
And what is that about? Like, I can understand why they're plastic locks, because how do you make sure that the guy on the other end where it's going to has a key? If you made a universal key, that means that the thieves could easily break into this stuff. By the way, somebody's doing construction right outside the window where I live. Oh, no, it's somebody out there blowing the leaves. That is one of the loudest leaf blowers that I've ever seen. Anyways, I digress. But there's got to be a better way. How about a combination lock? There you go. Problem solved.
They don't care if the train's moving or not. Wait. They jump on the trains, pop the lock, and just start grabbing whatever they see.
All of this has accumulated over the last month alone. Looters aim for the most valuable items they can find, ripping through packages and avoiding cheaper bulk cargo items like toilet roll.
I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, I've never able to figure out why toilet paper was in such big demand, but good luck here in the state of Florida. I don't know how, I'm pretty sure it was that way all over America, but good luck. Like, toilet paper, you could have sold like crack back early February, March of 2020. Yeah, you definitely could have been a toilet paper dealer. You could have put a little piece of toilet paper in one of those, like, little dime bag sacks or something. You'd be like, yo, $50, yo.
Towards the end of last year, more than 90 containers were vandalized every day. Thefts peaked around Christmas. According to the rail operator Union Pacific, over the last year, looting along the train line in Los Angeles County has risen by 160%, costing millions of dollars.
Once again, right there, that is exactly what I'm talking about. I don't need a sound of a train breaking before you get into it. Do all the BBC reporters smoke massive amounts of puff? That's what they call weed in the UK. Or they take in bars, Xanny bars, before they get on the air and they're like, yeah, can you maybe put a train sound effect in there? Yeah, because I'm just a little delayed when it comes to my reaction time. I don't know why I sound like Bruce Springsteen.
The thefts have hit major companies, including Amazon, UPS, and FedEx. The rail operator says it has now increased security along the line. James Reynolds, BBC News.
All right. Thank you, James. Go hit you another bar before you got to do your next report. Anyways, guys, going to get out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.